Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a California legal case, West v. Arndt Fox LLP. It really delivers a crucial and maybe often overlooked lesson for anyone navigating litigation, especially when you get into anti-cell APP and SLAPP back claims.
Absolutely. We've looked through the opinion, so analysis, and yeah, West v. Arndt Fox just hammers home how knowing the substance of the law, like free speech stuff, isn't quite enough.
Right. You got to nail the procedure, too.
Exactly. You have to be laser focused on the specific procedural rules. This case is just, well, a perfect, maybe painful example of why. Yeah. For anyone interested in legal strategy, the tactics, this is a really important one.
Okay, let's unpack this to make sure everyone's kind of on the same page. Let's define a couple of key terms here. We hear about SLAPP suits, SLAPP strategic lawsuit against public participation.
Right. Basically, lawsuits meant to silence critics, not really win on merit.
Exactly. And California has this anti-SLAP law, section 425.16, Code of Civil Procedure lets you get these dismissed early, but then there are SLAPP backs. What exactly is SLAPP back?
So a SLAPP back is, at its core, a malicious prosecution claim. Mm. It's brought by someone who says, hey, that lawsuit against me, that was this SLAPP suit. They're suing the original filer, alleging the first suit lacked probable cause and was just meant to shut them up, you know, violate their free speech rights.
Okay, got it. So with that foundation, let's dive into the actual facts of West v. Arndt Fox. What happened here?
Okay, so it involves Val West. She had power of attorney for her mother in a nursing home. West started criticizing the care her mother was getting.
Okay, standard stuff. Families advocating.
Right. But then in February 2010, the nursing home, represented by the law firm Arndt Fox, they sued West. The claims were things like trespass, interference, harassment, and defamation.
Ah, defamation. So West is sued for speaking out. That sounds like prime territory for the anti-cell APP statute, doesn't it?
Exactly. Oh. And West did use the anti-cell APP statute. She actually succeeded in getting the defamation claim knocked out.
Okay, so a win for West there.
A partial win. The other claims, trespass, interference, those were allowed to continue. So fast forward a bit. January 2013. Now West files her own lawsuit, suing the law firm, Arndt Fox, for malicious prosecution. She's basically saying their original lawsuit against her was a SLAPP suit, making her new case a SLAPP back.
Right, the tables turn. West goes from defense using anti-SLAPP to offense, claiming she was the victim of a SLAPP. And this is where things get procedurally tricky, I imagine.
Extremely tricky. So Arndt Fox, faced with West's SLAPP back claim, filed their own special motion to strike. And they used the same anti-cell APP statute, section 425.16.
Wait, they used 425.16 against a cell APP back claim?
They did. And initially, the trial court said no, denied Arndt Fox's motion. But Arndt Fox didn't stop there. They went up to the appellate court, seeking what's called a writ, basically asking the higher court to tell the trial judge to reconsider.
And did the appellate court agree?
Yes. They issued the writ, told the trial court to take another look. And on reconsideration, the trial court flipped its decision. It granted Arndt Fox's motion and dismissed West's SLAPP back claim entirely.
Wow. So West wins on the defamation anti-SLAPP, but then loses her own SLAPP back claim when Arndt Fox uses the same statute.
And she tried to appeal that dismissal.
She did. She filed an appeal against the trial court's dismissal of her SLAPP back claim. But the Court of Appeal dismissed her appeal, just tossed it out.
Why? What went wrong?
It all came down to a critical procedural mistake. She missed a deadline. A very specific, very important deadline.
Deadlines, the bane of many a litigant. What deadline are we talking about here and why was it fatal?
Okay, this is the absolute key point. SLAPP back claims, even though related to anti-SLAPP, have their own section in the Code of Civil Procedure, section 425.18. And this section has different rules than 425.16.
Different rules? How so? Yeah. Specifically regarding appeals.
Exactly. For a normal anti-SLAPP motion under 425.16, if the judge grants or denies it, you can generally file a direct appeal. And that's under section 904.1. But section 425.18, the SLAPP back statute, explicitly says in subdivision C that this right to a direct appeal does not apply to rulings on SLAPP back motions. No direct appeal for SLAPP back rulings. Yeah. So how do you challenge it if you think the trial court got it wrong?
There's a specific and usually the only way. You have to file a petition for a peremptory writ. And here's the kicker. You have only 20 days to file it after you get notice that the order was entered.
20 days. That is incredibly fast for seeking appellate review. What's a peremptory writ compared to a normal appeal, and why this super fast track for SLAPP bets?
Yeah, 20 days is lightning fast in legal time. A peremptory writ is an extraordinary remedy. It's not automatic like an appeal. You're asking the appellate court to use its discretion to step in quickly, usually because there's a clear error or urgent need. It's much less certain than a standard appeal.
Okay, so faster, but more discretionary. Why did the legislature set it up this way for SLAPP backs?
The thinking, reflected in the legislative history and mentioned in the West opinion itself, was all about speed. SLAPP backs are, by definition, retaliatory claims. They stem from disputes over free speech. The legislature wanted to prevent these follow-on suits from dragging on for years, potentially having their own chilling effect on the original filer, even if the original suit was a SLAPP. It's about getting these things resolved fast. Justice Goodman's opinion really emphasized this intent quick resolution is key.
That makes sense. Prevent the SLAPP back itself from becoming another tool of suppression. So back to West. She didn't file this peremptory writ within 20 days.
No. She filed a standard notice of appeal, which, as we discovered, isn't the right procedure for challenging a SLAPP back ruling under 425.18.
Ouch! So because she used the wrong procedure and missed the 20-day writ deadline...
The Court of Appeal said it lacked jurisdiction. It basically said, sorry, you didn't follow the rules the legislature set out for this specific type of claim. We don't even have the legal power to hear your appeal.
So even though she'd initially won using the anti-SLAPP statute defensively, her SLAPP back claim died purely because of a procedural error in how she tried to appeal its dismissal.
That's harsh.
It is harsh, but it's a powerful lesson. West v. Arndt Fox is a stark reminder. Procedure isn't just red tape. It dictates whether the court can even hear your case. Missing a jurisdictional deadline like that 20-day writ window, it's usually fatal. It doesn't matter how strong your underlying arguments are if you don't follow the correct steps to get them heard.
So for the law students, the legal professionals listening, what are the absolute must-know takeaways from this case?
Okay, number one, maybe, obviously. Procedure is critical. Don't just focus on the substantive law. You have to master the procedural rules and deadlines. A slip-up can end your case.
Right. Don't get caught out on a technicality.
Exactly. Second, SLAPP backs have unique rules. Section 425.18 is different from 425.16. Specifically, remember the lack of a direct appeal, right? And that super tight 20-day deadline for filing a peremptory writ petition. You cannot treat them the same.
Crucial distinction. What else? Third, legislative intent matters. Courts look at why a law was written. Here, the intent behind 425.11 was clearly expedited review to prevent SLAPP backs from dragging on and chilling speech themselves. Understanding that helps interpret the strict procedural requirements.
Makes sense. Courts try to follow what the lawmakers intended.
And finally, maybe the most direct warning for attorneys, know Section 425.18 inside and out. If you're dealing with SLAPP back claims, you must know about the writ requirement and the 20-day deadline. Failing to advise your client correctly on this or missing that deadline yourself, well, it's malpractice territory. The consequences are severe.
So let's just crystallize that main procedural point again from West v. Arndt Fox. Ruling on a SLAPP back motion under 425.18 in California. Forget a standard appeal. You need a peremptory writ petition and you have only 20 days after notice of the order to file it. Miss that window and the appellate court likely won't even look at your case.
That's the heart of it. It underscores just how high the stakes are for procedural compliance, especially in these areas designed to protect fundamental rights like free speech. You have to get it right.
It really shows that knowing the law is only half the battle, maybe less sometimes. Understanding and following the procedural roadmap is just as vital. Well, that wraps up our deep dive into West v. Arndt Fox. Hopefully this shed some light on those critical procedural differences.
Yeah, definitely something to keep in mind.
Thanks for joining us. Maybe consider how these procedural traps can appear in unexpected places as you think about litigation strategy, especially where free speech is involved.